And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Post eclipse.
You know, I think
updates constantly, every 5 minutes. Go ahead, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, I think it's interesting how the Illuminati made it happen on a Monday, which literally translates into Moon Day.
Okay, that's the least bothersome conspiracy theory I've heard so far.
Oh, I've got more. We still have another hour left, so.
You know what was cool yesterday?
Hmm?
Number one, how it got dark so slow, and then within 30 seconds, it went dark.
It just, it's like the light switch, or a dimmer switch. It was really a, because I was like, whoa. I was watching things, I was doing something, and I was watching on my security cameras. And it was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, it's starting. And then when it went dark, I was like, okay, I got to go outside.
It was, when I went out, it was still light. It was probably 25%. The moon was covering the sun at that point. And I didn't know till I got out and put on my glasses and looked. It was like, oh, my gosh, it's still, I mean, it was a good 30, 35, 40 minutes beforehand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I was out there the entire time. My neighbors were also out there. But what got to me is when it got probably about three quarters covered, you could feel the chill in the air and the wind started picking up. And it was a little bit haunting at that point because mm-hmm. you could feel that, all right, it's still light.
Right,
you know, there was only 1/10 of the sun showing. It was still light.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, you know, it was a softer light. But one thing I noticed, and this would be an interesting thing to find out, what I did notice was I was standing next to my car. My car's shadow, even in the dullest light before it got dark, was the most intense contrast between the shadow and the light.
Yeah.
Even though the intensity of the light had come down, mm-hmm. the intensity of the shadow and the contrast was, I was like, why is that happening?
It's by design. The Illuminati wanted it that way.
Well, that explains it all. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun yesterday. As I, when I first looked at it, I was really, you know, because you see the pictures on TV, but you put the glasses on.
Oh, yeah,
It was crystal clear.
Yeah, there's no movie or video or picture or anything that can do what the human eye can do. And just experiencing that in general, because I walked outside just as it got dark, and I was just, I bolted for the door, and it was just, part of me was saying, man, I wish this could last like an hour. Now, there would be a problem with that. If it did last for an hour, it would mean there were some things very wrong. But I really wanted it to go on longer. And I it's just one of those things that, you know, you're not going to see. You know, many people won't. Most people didn't see yesterday firsthand. So
yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty intense.
Yeah.
And it I turned on the TV late.
Yeah.
I saw the people, all the people at the Cotton Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That were like, whoa.
I saw, I got, when I got up and I was monitoring things and I decided to go to the TxDOT, the Texas Department of Transportation cameras, to see what traffic was like. And traffic the hour before in our area was normal. I don't know what it was like later in the day after the eclipse, but the reports coming out of states like Indiana and parts of New York saying, yeah, now everybody's going home and now the roads are really crowded. I didn't see any real like long-term backup in the news, though. There may have been one, but I didn't see it. But it was crazy.
We had them, but then, it was Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we just call that construction.
Construction and traffic.
Right.
All right, what was that poll that you were telling me about?
Because I love coming across these polls at thehill.com. Here's the headline. Republicans more likely to say cost of living has gone up since 2020, according to a survey. It's like, okay, well. And then it gets into this. A new bank rate survey published Monday shows 69% of Americans think their cost of living has gone up since 2020. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, it should be 100%.
Yeah.
Because inflation hits everybody. Well, to be honest, the other 31% of respondents answered by saying, hold on, Mom, has the cost of living gone up since 2020?
Yeah, because that should be 100%.
Yeah.
It's not whether, they're not asking the question, has the cost of living affected you in a negative way?
Right.
They're simply saying, did the cost of living go up since 2020?
Well, the way they phrase it here, their cost of living has gone up. So that leads me to believe that, yeah, okay, right in line with about 30-31% of people moving in with parents.
Well, it would have to be. Otherwise, yeah. They're lying.
Right.
And they spend no money of their own.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah. They don't earn any money, so they're spending somebody else's money.
Right.
So they really don't feel inflation. I apologize. I should have known that.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Right. I mean,
because that should be, unless you're, again, somebody's paying all your bills and you don't worry about money at all.
They're buying everything for you?
Apparently.
Because that's the only way you can say that it's not the case.
Or you're spending their money, so the money has no value, so the cost has no value.
Right.
Because you're being given it, you haven't earned it.
Right.
I do like the mom thing, though.
Yeah.
The kids in the basement.
Yeah. Cost of living!
That's the first thing I noticed when he did that. I was like, well, this is dumb. It's got to be 100%, doesn't it?
Yeah, nope.
Everybody has, because you're asking the question, has the cost of living gone up? Well, yeah.
Keith Olbermann said no. Mom!
All right.
We're out of mayo. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com. And use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye. Red Eye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Just reading here.
Yeah.
You know, the Trump thing on abortion. We talked about it earlier, but former Bush strategist Trump took worst possible political position on abortion. Matthew Dodd, who served as chief strategist for former President George W. Bush's 2000 re-election bid, argued former President Trump took the worst possible political position in his statement on abortion and should have gone for a 15 or 16-week federal policy on the procedure. I actually think he's taken the worst possible political position, but from a political perspective, he would have been better off, I think, going for a 15-week or a 16-week federal policy on this, because he can still motivate, and there are some swing voters that agree with that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just talking the politics of it,
yeah,
I don't know, because you've just ticked, if you set the federal policy, then you've got pro-lifers, evangelicals going, you set the term for 15, 16 week, which now codifies it in the federal government, possibly forever.
Right.
Whereas what you're saying now is it's in the states, and let's keep it in the states until we can find a way to, you know, move the position of the American public on abortion, which has been moved. That's the one thing that nobody's talked about. We have on the show was one of the first things that I thought about after Dodd went, and then over the next 6 months, we really started having that discussion of people saying, well, no, we don't believe in, you know, where the Democrats still can't answer a question, do you believe in abortion till birth? Because they know they can't answer that question. Yes, I'm for abortion till birth, because a majority of people aren't.
Right.
And I think a plurality of women are not.
Right.
You know.
No, you're right. This has to be a hearts and minds,
right,
you know, thing. And it has been, there has been an evolution with hearts and minds, as you pointed out earlier, technology and a number of things that have brought this about. But politically, you're not going to see that evolution during one term. You're not going to see that win. So it was politically, it was a neutral position. Well, but it's also acknowledgement of where we are on the issue. And right now, it is in the hands of the states, and it's not going to move. There's not going to be, on Capitol Hill, they're not going to take this up in our lifetime. I don't believe that's going to happen. Could we, as a society, if those hearts and minds are changing even further and going even further pro-life at some point? Maybe, but I don't expect that to happen in my lifetime.
I think it'll be brought up to make a political point.
Sure.
I don't think it will pass. It's neither a bill to keep abortion through birth or 15 or 16 weeks or 5 weeks is going to get the 60 votes in the Senate that are necessary.
Right.
I just don't think it will.
Right.
I could be wrong, but I don't think it will for a significant period of time. And I think that, again, you know, this was being put on by a lot of pro-life people saying that, well, Trump has betrayed us. Well, then you say, what is the other option? And, you know, both you and I agree. We believe that life begins at fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking the politics of it. The politics of it is that I don't see it passing.
No. I don't see it happening politically.
Because the Democrats don't want 15 to 16 weeks, and you're not going to get the pro-life people in Congress to vote for 15 or 16 weeks.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No.
So you bring it up, you set that marker, and you're viewed as a radical, and they'll promote you as a radical for being 15 to 16 weeks and not 20 weeks.
Yeah. Take a position, whatever that line is, stand on that line, and then it's on.
And then you're a radical.
And there's no win.
And what you're saying is, this is in the states now. If Congress ever brings it up, we'll see what they can come up with it. But it's here now, and I'm glad that, as he said, I'm glad that the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, and now it's up to the people of the United States.
It was simply, in my mind, it was an acknowledgement of where we are, and he really wasn't taking a position. And you can say, well, that's a cop-out. Well, but the problem is that you can take a position. Politically, it's not going to give you the win. In fact, what you're going to do more likely is to build ammunition for the left to make abortion one of the top issues again.
I was part of the coverage of the abortion protest in Buffalo, New York in the early 90s. Mm. I don't know if you remember them, but right near where I lived. Mm. In fact, at the time, right on the street is where one of the abortion clinics was. Hmm. And I was there for it. And I remember, because I remember all of the leaders of that particular movement that, you know, came out of Buffalo, but also was nationwide. Yeah. But the focus was on the Buffalo abortion clinics.
Right.
Well, the Buffalo abortion clinic and the Amherst, New York abortion clinic. And I'll never forget being in the middle of that.
Yeah.
I mean, covering it in the middle of both sides of it. It's something you never forget.
Right.
And I remember after all the protests had gone on and that finally you had some of the pro-life leaders. Remember that one doctor was shot up there and killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A sniper through his house.
Yeah.
And one of the abortion providers.
Right.
And they just said, this isn't getting us anywhere. We've got to convince hearts and minds. This isn't working.
Right.
And so how you market anything, and I understand people I completely understand because I'm in the belief that life begins at fertilization.
Right.
And so.
And I wouldn't want anyone to compromise their own values. I don't compromise mine.
Yeah, and so, but you have to look at the political reality of where are we right now, and do you do anything if you continually, this is what we were talking about the Republicans, if you don't have the numbers, you're never going to pass the budget that you want. And if you close down the government, the vast majority of times, Republicans will get the blame. If you lose, you can never get it under control.
Right.
And so you're forced to compromise when you don't have the votes. That's just the political reality of it. You can scream and yell and everything else, but if you lose the election, you know, you may lose the election, you go on to your television job, you'll get hired by Newsmax or something. And so you'll have a job or you'll become a lobbyist if you lose your job there. But the situation in the country becomes worse and worse and worse if the Democrats are in power.
Yep.
And it's that simple.
Right.
And the same thing here, because you're talking about a life and death issue of abortion.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about people believe it's life. And that's the debate we're having. And the debate right now that you could get, you know, what are they talking about in Florida? Was it 6 weeks or, and then they're, you know, 15, 16 weeks here. They're talking about, you know, on a federal scale. That means the debate now is not Roe v. Wade debate.
Right.
It's not the Roe v. Wade debate. It's not the privacy debate. It's not the, it's my body. I can do whatever I want with it whenever I want, because that's why the public has accepted somewhere in the womb, it's a human being.
Where the debate is.
That's where the debate is now, and the debate hasn't been there, and that's an advantage for pro-lifers. So you just keep promoting what you believe year in and year out and year in and year out.
Right.
But are you ready to go there yet? Can you get the vote yet, or will it blow up in your face and do you lose again?
Right.
And that's what you're dealing with. And I know there are the people out there, you know, as you know, the accusations of Marjorie Taylor Greene. You're shooting off your mouth, but you're not going to get anywhere with it. Why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the budget, you don't have the numbers to do it. Well, then we shut down the government.
Work has to be done. You can't just snap your fingers and make something happen.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Several Americans Monday afternoon had opportunity to see a partial, if not total, solar eclipse. And in southern Missouri, along the National Ozark Scenic Riverways, viewers there Monday could get a glimpse of a hot air balloon in the recognizable image of Smokey Bear. The U.S. Forest Service-sponsored balloon was part of a weekend-long event. And as Forest Service historian Lincoln Bramwell points out, it is another example of Smokey's popularity as the wildfire prevention symbol celebrates his 80th anniversary this year.
It's an incredibly successful campaign, and the Ad Council tracks impact of its ESA campaigns and how effective they are. And they were finding that Smokey Bear had the highest recognition of any of their PSA campaigns. Over 90% of people that were polled recognized Smokey Bear and his message.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Just a humorous thing happened to me yesterday while I was doing show prep. I was reading an article about, it was an LA Times article, about why people are moving from California. And then, I was laughing at the conclusion that they made about how to make California a better state, which is spending more money you don't have.
Right.
But then I was going to the Wall Street Journal editorial page. There was James Freeman wrote a column on that column, and I just burst out laughing. So just relate some of that to you coming up.
Listening to Red Eye Radio from the Uniden America Studios.
And he's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app today. Listen when and where you want if you can't listen live overnight. One of the things we've been talking about is the changing population of states in the United States, especially post-COVID. And so always interested in reading articles about it, like what's going on in California and what's going on in Texas. What's going on in Florida? How many people are New York losing and Illinois losing? Things like that. And there's been a focus on those five states because you have three big population centers of liberal states and two big population centers of more conservative states, GOP states. And this article from the LA Times, Why Californians Are Leaving or Fleeing This Once Golden State. Talked about how they were nearly 40 million people, and now they're down from that, and they're actually losing, population. Entering this century, when California still growing population was 34 million, this is in 2000, we were predicting to reach 45 million by 2020 and almost 60 million by 2050. And they say, well, that probably won't happen, you know, for a long, long time. But starts talking about Newsom, and coincidentally, I mean, this is had been accelerated during Governor Gavin Newsom's watch. Talks about Newsom hating to give prepared speeches, but he loves pitching California. And a bolting citizenry doesn't fit his usual narrative that all is terrific.
No, wait, come back.
Anyway, the fact that Newsom has been governor while constituents flee the state is mostly coincidence.
Right. Yeah.
Sure, state public policy decisions have helped motivate some people to leave that they probably would have departed no matter who the governor was. Well, not necessarily. No.
Well, it depends on the policies.
If DeSantis was elected as head of the GOP, you know, as a Republican in California, you're saying that things wouldn't be different?
Right. If you're saying that any Democrat would have run them out of the state, okay.
And then they write, California just got too big for its carrying capacity.
Oh, come on.
At least in the sprawling ranch-style lifestyle that so many people covet and symbolizes the state's easy-living persona. Right. Grow and grow and grow, and eventually there's not enough room, said Hans Johnson from the Nonpartisan Public Policy Institute of California. The easy places for growth have been used up. Growth today means infill development in cities that's expensive and controversial, or you live further away from your job, or leave the state to find cheaper housing almost anywhere. And then you had James Freeman write this in the Wall Street Journal on this article from the LA Times.
Yeah.
The coincidental flight from Gavin Newsom's California.
Yeah.
And it's like, goes back to, talk about the fact that, he was, when Gavin Newsom took over, it's like, well, they're going to go in the same direction. But where is it here? I want to get to the part. Here is. Maybe Mr. Newsom is just unlucky. This week in the LA Times, George Skelton writes, the fact that Newsom has been governor while constituents flee the state is mostly coincidence. Sure, state policy decisions have helped motivate some people to leave, but they probably would have departed no matter what the governor, who the governor was. Then Mr. Skelton makes his case. California just got too big for its carrying capacity, what I just said there, the whole thing about it's just sprawling, there's no more room anywhere. Just not enough room? It is perhaps a compelling argument until one realizes that California is not even in the top 10 of U.S. states when it comes to population density and has significantly less population density, for example, than Florida, which has been a migration magnet. What are the other reasons for Mr. Newsom's run of bad luck? Regulation shows up in paragraph 23, and then Mr. Skelton finally arrives at taxes in paragraph 25. But an uninformed reader might also think that Mr. Newsom has been an opponent of overbearing government rather than one of its most zealous practitioners. Mr. Skelton writes, blame California's high costs of land and labor plus regulatory quagmires and neighborhood resistance to growth. Newsom and legislators have been wrestling with these issues for years and enacted new laws, but they haven't generated much progress in making home buying more affordable. To his credit, he does take note, there's evidence that some conservatives are leaving California because they can't tolerate liberal politics. Many probably didn't like Mr. Newsom's shuttering of shops and schools during the pandemic. Other states were less restrictive. And that is true, as we know. Mr. Newsom's abuse of emergency authority during COVID days was extreme. But that was years ago, and people are still leaving the state. Why do bad things keep happening to him? Maybe a lot of earthlings just don't want to live in a government that dictates the size of their shampoo bottles. Maybe they also don't want to be governed by a man who presumes to tell them how long to stay in the shower. Those are all great points, by the way, though. And then ends the article. This is the one thing the LA Times writer ends the article and goes through, you know, the housing difference and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And ends with, let me just get to it here. I can't get to it. Here it is. What would one of the solutions be? Because he talks about the problems, only gives one solution.
Mm.
One way to make California more enticing would be to offer a benefit that worked well for generations until the state got greedy in the 1970s. Free tuition at public universities for California residents. That would help prevent a brain drain. So talking about
what? Well,
they
got plenty of money for that, right?
Well, that's the whole point. They don't have any money anymore.
And, you know, it's over and over again, that's the liberal mindset. Look, we'll pay them to stay. Give them something.
Are you talking about...
Give them tens of thousands of dollars in education.
Are you talking about public university where they get to choose their curriculum, or you choose a curriculum where they can actually get a job that increases the productivity of California?
Or just expand public schools to grade 16. Just keep them in high school.
Now, would that be for 16 years of education or 12?
16 years of education. I'm sorry, indoctrination.
No, what I meant was 16 years of education would be 16 years of education, or the 16 years of education is what you need to get 12 years of education.
I don't think you can get any education, basically. It doesn't, but I mean,
this is,
but
this is the stupid, this is the stupid stuff they come up with. Oh, if we just get free education. And what? So you get free education, public university, whatever you want.
How about no property tax?
Well,
how about no gas tax? How about free groceries?
Well,
how about...
Well, the one thing that they missed of when I became responsible and I had to figure out a way to finance my college, it was important to me to pick something that I could get a job in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was all of a sudden it was my money. When it's my money, I wanted, if it's not my money, I don't care as much. If it's my money paying for my education. Or if I did take out a loan, which I took out one loan, but I paid it off before any interest. In fact, I made interest off the loan.
Mm-hmm.
But when I took out the college loan, I knew how to pay it back. That's why I never used it. That's why it sat in a bank account for almost 5 years.
Right.
But that was the whole point. As I've said on the radio, that changed many times. That changed me as a human being. From high school as a senior, where I would still cheat on an exam in high school, to 6 months later, I'm in college, and I'm demanding from the professors that they be more relatable to the actual, you know, curriculum and tie it to industry and where we could get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I was paying for it. That changed everything. That changed me as a human being.
Well, this is, you know, this is the big fallacy in the whole idea of free college. Well, so if you're saying it's free, then imagine what the employer base would look at. Okay. You went and you didn't pay for anything. And the curriculum, by the way, would change. There's no doubt. Why? Well, because the taxpayer base is paying for all of it. So you would limit certain things, and then it would come down to, oh, so you mean you basically, it is the equivalent of you finished high school. Eventually, that's where it would be judged. The marketplace would look at that and say, well, there's not a real, because I think we're getting there anyway. I think with the colleges that aren't focused on real educations, they're not focused on real world learning and everyday learning tools, then in the end, what do you have? Well, the product of that college, these students coming out of it, are they viable in the workforce? And that's what it comes down to. So you want to expand this whole free college thing, which is, by the way, part of the attempt of the administration yesterday. doing everything they can to move closer and closer to free college. Well, the marketplace will eventually look at that, if we were to ever get to that, and say, well, free college doesn't have any value to us. We need people who we believe can actually learn things and can adapt quickly. And if they're not able to do that, they're of no use to us. The degree, the sheepskin means nothing. Anybody can get one. That's the difference.
You know something? And I worked in a variety of business besides radio. Never, ever had to produce my degree. Nobody ever asked me for, I mean, I put it down and I went to college, but I don't believe anybody ever checked it out.
Right. Yeah, and they will. Employers will definitely make the calls these days. I don't know about back then, but they definitely make the calls these days. And the fact of the matter is that's already changing, because then it you know, right now we're already at this point. Did this person actually learn anything that can be applied in this setting in those 4 years? And that's what it comes down to. This is something that we've talked about, Mike Rose talked about, and it is, what is the real education? And what is it about? Mm-hmm. What are the real skills in the workplace that are going to be necessary going forward?
If you are very technically oriented and not afraid to get your hands dirty, I believe your career is unlimited.
Yeah.
With security and high dollar income.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
By the way, if I did apply for a new job and put down my college, I don't know who they're going to call. My football coach, Newt Rockne, is dead.
Oh.
So.
Well, somebody at the school's still there, aren't they? Hopefully. Hopefully there's a way to confirm it.
You know what I'm thinking of? Remember when Babe Ruth went to reform school and there was the priest that took care of him? That's what I'm thinking of, you know, would be the advisor that you could find from me from, you know, 1909.
Yeah, right, exactly.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Why let the eclipse paint dry before we get new drama? I went to the Drudge Report just looking for any, just seeing what they had.
Right.
After all the eclipse stuff. AI warning, social order could collapse. Great big red letters as if this is the biggest story of the day. It's like, huh?
Yeah, okay. It's like, he pretty much lives in a movie, doesn't he?
Drudge?
Yeah, that's why he's so big on the awards. He thinks he's living in a movie.
I read somewhere that he doesn't even do it anymore, that he has subcontracted all of it out.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know whether it's true or not.
Yeah.
I do like this story. Has her now more in the U.S. say they would not consider buying an EV.
Yeah, we kind of knew that.
It actually came from thehill.com.
Right.
Yeah, we knew that. Yeah. And it's going to keep increasing.
Right. Yep.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.